Hello, hello, hello. Yes, it's back. We're back for another episode of Things We Learned on a Monday Morning. And there's been some interesting success, I would say, with the previous episode in which we covered, or at least unpacked, interesting skills that could be turned into a vocation, or interesting skills you can learn in 2024 that could be used as a vocation. And I must say the paid bridesmaid, the bridesmaid for hire, sorry, seems to be the hit. Wow, it's just quite interesting. And from that episode, I've actually got an interest for a guest, so they'll be having a guest on the podcast thing for that. So in light of that, I thought, let me just continue down this rabbit hole, and it is a rabbit hole. So today I want to talk about interesting skill sets that you could use, that you could learn, that in essence is jobs in 2024. So buckle up, buckle in. We're in for an interesting ride. The first skill set that I want to talk to you about is called drone design. So pack away the fireworks. It is one that is easier on the ears for dogs and humans. You are able to, I think it depends on the bylaws, able to pay a company, but they fly the drones, they program the drones in a particular design, and then it lights up the night sky. And like I said, it's easy on the ears because you're not firecrackers for the dogs, but also you can be a lot more creative and expansive in your design. So this is a cool design. This is a design studio called Drone Show Software, and this is basically software which is developed by an engineer, by a company, and they're able to transform and equip your thoughts and ideas of a great drone show, picture show, into reality. So what they do is basically they place the drones on the ground, but they program a particular show, insert code into the software, which will then place the drones in particular sequences, different light colors, different shapes and sizes, and they create this entire light show for you. I've seen this actually, I think it was a launch of a show, or it was a 4th of July drone show that I saw on YouTube, which was just absolutely fantastic. And they programmed the drones to move in a particular way, and it was, I don't know how many drones, it was quite a few hundred drones, and it was absolutely fantastic. So the drones act in the swarming way. So the drone show software is developed to manage a swarm of drones equipped with lights, fireworks, smoke generators, and other payloads for astonishing shows. So they can offload some fireworks and bangs and stuff like that. The drone choreography can be planned in a 3D animation software, and this is then transformed into drone flight paths via a plugin, and then it's managed from a single computer equipped with drone show software. So this is the particular software which has been developed. Really, really cool. So I guess if you can purchase the software, I assume then you're able to do it yourself, but it makes sense to employ a company to do it for you. So yeah, LED lights, and I'm going to play a section of the video so you can see what it's actually like. But this software is absolutely fantastic. So if you have a few drones at home, I would encourage you to put some lights to it, attach some lights to it, and then you can start practicing working it in sequence, or download this particular software. The cool thing about this particular software is that and then, or this particular company, sorry, you're able to then, I mean, look at that, sorry, drone show curator, our creator, oh my goodness, it's actually quite intense. I haven't downloaded the software because I don't have an app, I don't have a drone, so it wouldn't make sense to download it. However, it is so cool that you're able to, if you look at this section over here, you're able to choose the different colors, different hues, and also the different positions of the drone. It's actually really cool. And if I click on the buy option, just to be clear, so you can see how much it actually is going to cost. I mean, the animations, 50 drone. So you're able to buy the ready-made animations, which is really cool. So for a user-friendly person or for a not well-skilled person, then this is one cool way. And also saves you time, by the way. So for $50 or $49, you're able to buy a Merry Christmas animation for 50 drones. So it tells you exactly how many drones you would use for the animation, and then what, and here's a picture of what it will actually look like. And if you hover over the, it shows you what it will look like. Another cool thing about this, I'll just go back a little bit. So this particular company offers some training and consulting and certification. So you are able to get some skill set and training in this particular software, which makes it easy for you. So, and they're also willing to consult. So imagine you have 50 drones and you can offer this as a service, as a party service, as a celebratory service, as some just a service. If you want to curate a special night for weddings and proposals, this is a great opportunity to start a business. Get the skill set, get the drones, and then you're able to provide this, make someone's event and moment way more memorable. The second skill set that I want to share with you is one which I didn't know existed. I only thought, as I know how to whistle, that is just something that it was more like drawing your attention to something. So when you whistle, which was a weak version of a whistle, by the way, I just didn't know. I used to whistle to say, signal to my friends down the road, hello. Just kids, kind of signaling or drawing the attention. Whereas in this case, whistle language is actually a language. And specifically the one I want to talk to you about today is the one which is, if I scroll here, it's based on the island of Algomera in El Hierro in the Canary Islands. So Algomera and El Hierro, if I say it correct, sorry for butchering it, in the Canary Islands. So this is more than just drawing attention. There's an actual language that the people on the island speak. And the rationale behind it, the cool thing about it is, it travels further than normal language, than just shouting, because of the pitch and what you're able to then muster when you're blowing and making a whistling sound. It travels a bit further, so you travel a bit louder. And also, the cool thing about it is only those that know the language will understand it. So if you are in a bit of trouble, this will be a good thing to learn. You're able to communicate with someone who understands it. There's at least 80 cultures around the world, worldwide, where people have developed whistled versions of local languages when the circumstances call for it. So in other words, in high terrain areas, in other words, rugged terrain where there's just extremely difficult places like high mountains and mountainous spaces where people live, or dense vegetation spaces. So in terms of like forest areas, those type of spaces, or spaces where both exist. Yeah. So, and the best way to communicate to people where you just can't get to them in time would be create a language, where people can hear you. So I'm looking at an article from Noble magazine. And so they actually conducted an interview with people from the island and who are sharing it. So I want to play a bit of a video so you're able to hear about it. To give you an example of what it may sound like, they're saying a vowel such as a long E, for example, is formed higher in the mouth than a long O, giving a higher sound. Giving the higher sound. It's not pitch exactly, says this particular interviewer. Instead, it's more complex. It's a more complex change in sound quality or timbre, which is easily conveyed in a whistle. So let me play a bit of example. So I'm going to play you one quickly. So Let's hear this.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
I was just listening again.
Nice to meet you. How do you do?
So, as you can see, so when you listen to it, when you listen to it on the way back, so it almost sounds like they're mouthing the word. If you heard it, how to meet you. There was a butchering of it. But it sounds like how nice to meet you. Not how to meet you. Nice to meet you. So it is, you're actually able to understand it. So that's actually really, really cool. And like I said, you can hear the samples. These are on SoundCloud. This is on the actual website. These are actually, yeah, so unknowablemagazine.org. You can check it out there. The link will be in the description. But I thought, hey, maybe as a potential business opportunity or skill set you're able to learn is maybe develop a language that you and your immediate friends and circle could understand. But also, you could actually learn how to do this and learn the many different whistle languages around the world and become a whistle language expert. Or alternatively, you can develop an alphabet or a framing or an actual language of your own that you can actually take to businesses and people. But I just thought about it. This is actually really cool. But this is a skill set that people actually know communicate via whistling. And so if you're in the South African context, we whistle for a taxi, we whistle to for our friends, but it's a simple whistle, meaning it's not as complex and not doesn't require different levels. But this one in particular is really, really cool. So and I'm going to play another one. Yeah, it's on the website. Where you get to just see on the subtitles what the person is actually saying. So, this is a tool that the shepherds use. So, an ancient pastoral techniques used for different languages. So, here we go. Whistled in Spanish here. Wow, crazy. Wow. Okay, you see? An actual full conversation in whistle language. And they were whistling, speaking to each other in Spanish. So, yeah, I would not have known. And without the subtitles, I would not have known what they wanted to do. And so, whistle language is another skill set you can learn in 2024. It is an ancient skill set. It has been here already. But for those that didn't know about the skill set, yeah, this is one for you. The next one, the next skill set that I want to share with you that I think is an amazing opportunity, business opportunity, a skill set to learn and to operate in 2024 is this. It is escape room. How to start an escape room. So I'm a huge fan of escape rooms. Besides watching people complete escape rooms, either the virtual ones or the actual ones, watching it on YouTube is quite fun. And then I would love to get to escape rooms. It's just the applying your brain power and knowledge to try and escape this space. So I love puzzles, I love problem solving, so that's right up my alley. And so what if you could design your own escape room? So and what would it cost? What is the rationale? Why would you want to do it? And so I came across this article in Medium magazine or Medium, so it was really, really cool. And this was last updated in 2023, so figures might slightly have changed. But there is actually a market for escape rooms. And this article goes through the steps or things to think about where, if wanting to start an escape room. So questions like, they're telling you, pick a theme that pops. So something that you, I would say, are quite interested in, quite passionate about. A theme that is, one, proves difficult, but also I think people will just be drawn to. So I'm not a huge fan of horrors and that type of things, but that seems to be a huge draw card. That's sort of the scariness part of it, but also the element of scariness in it, danger in it, but also space themes, those type of themes. As long as it is interesting enough to be complex, but also easy enough to complete. So that's sort of that balance that you need to find. So in this article, really, really cool article, they're saying, pick a theme that pops, find a space that works. In other words, a space that is maybe 500 to 1,000 square feet to build your elaborate sets. And so probably have different rooms, or maybe one room in particular. Design super puzzling puzzles. In other words, it must be complex, super complex, but you still need to be able to solve it. So as complex, super complex for the most intelligent sleuth there is on the planet, but also easy enough for the person who's just an innocent bystander that requires a little brain power to be able to solve, or at least be within the group to solve. So really cool. Go all out with the theme, decor, lighting, sound. So spend enough money and capital to make it super realistic and immersive for people. So build it to life. In other words, paint it, build it, decorate meticulously, and meticulously theme out each room. Load up the puzzles and props to look that look. Sorry, load up puzzles and props that look and feel high, well, of high quality. So make it look real. Get the word out. So hype it up. I imagine have an amazing opening night. Probably give some freebies away to invite people in to the space. Word of mouth spreads, the easier and the better it is for your business. Get your operations dialed in. So in other words, figure out your booking system, payment process, waiver forms, all of those things, and also hire upbeat people. So who you hire is a key. Your personnel, your staff is key, because they actually add the energy and add to the ambience of the space. And then also keep innovating and improving it. So that's really cool. So, I mean, let's look at the forecasting. So what it would cost to have an escape room. And they say majority of your startup cost and expenses is room design and construction. And then your rental would be next. And then your puzzle and equipment would be there. And then it sees that insurance is the least. And then your marketing and advertising, I think. Marketing is not great, people won't come. But if your marketing is okay, but your actual design is horrible, it actually works against you. So your actual design and the way the place looks and feels, word of mouth will spread, and then people won't come. So, yeah. But something to note is also there's a legal and licensing. So there is a licensing that you have to pay for in order to have an escape room. So just be mindful. And yeah. And then the forecast of the revenue. So, yeah, they say like 14,000, yeah, over $14,000 in ticket sales, private events. So you could curate this. So this could be a private event. This could be the normal run-of-the-mill, everyday hiring or per ticket hire of an escape room. But there's also auxiliary things that you could use, or you could sell as a result of the escape room. That's like your T-shirts, your merch, T-shirts, mugs, photos, video that you could sell, capturing people trying to escape. So that could be sold as like a memorabilia as well. So all this type of stuff. And then if you could develop a pop-up service, a pop-up escape room service, that would be absolutely amazing. So an iteration of your store version of it in another space for a party, that would be brilliant. I don't know what that would cost, but I mean, I'm sure you can build a frame, you can build ready to set up props, and I'm sure it's possible. But, or hire a van and curate it in a van, or some sort of like a U-Haul storage van, that sort of space, or a truck sort of space, and just shape it and curate it in such a way that people can try and escape. That's one way to do it. So, and call it your mobile escape van or something like that. So, that's an idea for free. And so here's some frequently asked questions in terms of the startup phase of an escape room. Is about 20. You can expect to invest about $25,000 to $150,000 US to start an escape room business. costs include renting, building out outer space, constructing, all this type of stuff. How big does my location need to be? Then they obviously said between 500 to 1,000 square foot floor space. So you're able to then create an immersive experience. How many players can participate in one particular space between one particular time, between 6 to 10 players at a time, which is really cool. And you can split them up into two teams as well. And the minimum age is 12 years old. So that's really cool. And how long should this experience last? Between 45 to 60 minutes on average. So I would say this, an escape room is a really cool opportunity. It's a brilliant idea. And I think it could be, it's a good use of your expenses and of your time. I think it will be a great opportunity to curate and to use. And so, and it seems like it is a viable option. But I think if you're able to then enhance the experience by either bringing the escape room to the people would be further 10x your opportunity to generate business. Instead of going to a mall, people come to a mall. People can actually hire it for a party or even like a 60th or 50th party, whatever type of party, and you can shape and curate the theme to what the client wants within reason, obviously. And then also, so special events, those type of stuff will be really cool. And then you can charge a premium, and I think it will be a great opportunity, great business opportunity to have. So, because it will be the first of its kind, a mobile escape room. Yeah. So, escape rooms is the... having an escape room business is another skill set to have for 2024. Cool. So... the fourth and final skill set that I want to share with you, encourage you to learn and to develop and grow with the technology we have in this great old 2024 of ours is holography. So this is the art and the skill set of holograms, developing and curating holograms. So this is really cool. This is a really cool skill set. I wish I knew about it before. I probably would have got into it, but I can imagine it's an expensive undertaking, and you need to have a particular skill set and a training in it. So I'm reading from the Guggenheim. This is an article, really, really cool article. And this is how artists sculpt their holography. And they're using light, space, and time. And there's a video I want to show afterwards, or at least a snippet of the video, and how this gentleman creates an amazing it's an amazing skill set and an amazing hologram. I'll show it to you later. But so this particular skill set, an illusion, an artistry was curated back in the 1940s. So they say this illusion has been practiced in art for centuries. The painted effects of the Trompe l'Oeil, I can't say that, that's butchering it, for example, have long employed to highlight our thirst for trickery and demonstrate the artist's technical prowess, as they put it this way. So holograms have emerged, paintings, in terms of the skill set of creating that sort of depth, the 3D depth, and of different colors and trickery and artistry has been curated within paintings. And so holograms has now just taken that skill set even further. So where they're using electron microscopes and they're using light spectrum and energy to shape and to create the illusions of depth and tricking our eyes into believing something is bigger than what it is. And we see iterations of this now where you're seeing a hologram show of Prince appearing at a concert. He's long past. Or even a Michael Jackson or a Tupac. Or you see all these artists who have long past appear at concerts through holograms. And it looks like they're actually there dancing. But it's using lights and lights, power, electricity, all this type of stuff to curate a realistic impression and video of people on the stage. Really, really cool. Yeah, in fact, here we go. In the article itself, it says that because of our enthusiasm for illusionistic processes in general, and all things holographic in particular, the term hologram has become a generalized way of describing anything that appears to display a three-dimensional object, whether or not it's actually holographic. Similar to how Hoover became the catch-all the catch-all of the vacuum cleaning world, or misnamed holographic. Sorry, misnamed holographic spectacles include reanimation of Tupac, as I mentioned earlier, at the 2012 Coachella Valley Music Festival in California, Michael Jackson's appearance in the 2014 Billboard Music Awards, and recently the presence of Kim Kardashian West's deceased father at the 40th birthday. These are not holograms, but rather technically improved versions of the stage effect known as Pepper's Ghost, originally developed for Victorian theatre productions in 1862. So they say they want to distinguish between the two. So that version of Tupac appearing is not a hologram, but just a improved version of the visual effect, stage effect called Pepper's Ghost. And these are some examples of a hologram, just so you can have a look at it. So it looks like this tree is popping out at you. I don't even know. Back in the day, there was this book. We could get dinosaurs. You had to buy the book. My mom bought it for us as a kid. It's a dinosaur book, and you had to put these glasses on. And so as you look at it, the dinosaur actually turns. As you turn your head or turn the book in a particular angle, it looks like the dinosaur's looking at you and turning at you. So it gives that illusion of like the dinosaurs popping up off the table, off the book, which is really, really cool. I mean, this is a more modern version of it, example of it. And this is really, really, this is so cool. So this is the hologram of a lady in the background with a tiger's face over it, but the lady's not even standing there. It's absolutely fantastic. And I will play you something. And so here's the video I want to play to you now is from the Guggenheim, the Getty Museum, sorry. And this is a hologram artist called Matthew Schreiber. And this is his process of how he curates amazing holograms. And so I'll press play so you can have a look at it. I'll probably play the whole one, but hopefully you enjoy it.
A hologram is a recording of light waves. It's so strange looking. I think that artists are drawn to that because it's so unique and sort of bizarre. My name is Matthew Schreiber. I'm an artist and I use holography in my practice. I've been making holograms since 1986, but always with the point of view as an artist, as what could you use with this as a material to make art with. Most people picture holography like what you might see in special effects in a science fiction movie. Real holograms are recordings of light that are recorded onto small glass plates. There are many different types of holograms, and we're gonna look at some of the process of making one type of hologram. So this entire thing is like a deconstructed camera, and I can rearrange all of these elements to have a different function to the camera. Right now, this camera that you see is set up to make a transmission master hologram. The transmission master hologram, you take an object. In this case, I'm using an incense burner, and you shoot laser light at it. So you have a single dot from a single laser. Then it first hits a beam splitter. That's what this is right here, and it cuts it into two beams. And that's where the magic of the process starts, is separating. Now you have two waves moving separately. This light here lights up the object. And it's bouncing around on this table through a bunch of mirrors and optics to get to here and light up this incense burner. So it's like lighting up an object in photography, but you're using lasers instead of normal lights. Then there's another bit of laser light, and that's called the reference beam. The reference beam is going to eventually to this plate holder, and the combination of the reference beam light and the object light comes together and creates an interference pattern that's recorded right here on this glass plate. An interference pattern, which is sort of the core of holography, it happens in sound, it happens with water, it happens with anything that's a wave. So you could imagine throwing two rocks into a pond of calm water. It's when these two waves of water come together and it makes a kind of a secondary wave. That wave pattern, the interference pattern, is recorded on a glass plate.
One of the last things that I do, and I have all the materials prepared and loaded,
I have to close everything up. All the vibrations, heat, the temperature from my body, everything has to dissipate before making the hologram. All of that has to stay completely settled for the entire exposure, so nothing can move, even on the micron level. The process itself is very difficult and very delicate. And even in the last stage, when I'm physically processing the holograms, which is a lot like photography, you still can't see anything. So there's a sort of tension when you're making something that you have no idea if it's going to work or not. There is a magic to the material that I've been drawn to conceptually, but also just physically. It's still exciting for me because I never know what I'm going to see.
The cool thing about the skill sets that I mentioned is that they are all viable options. It doesn't matter in which context you find yourself, these are viable options. And maybe some are a bit more out of reach, but you are able to generate this particular skill set, out-the-box skill sets, into a viable business or a skill set that you're able to then work for someone who has a business. So it's really, really cool. So if you want to move outside of the conventional skill sets and vocations that are there, like a doctor, engineer, lawyer, there's nothing wrong with those. Absolutely nothing wrong with those. But if you're looking to develop develop a skill set outside of those particular vocations, and also use other parts of your brain and the budding creativity that's inside of you that you've always wanted to do, then these are the skill set for you. So, yeah. So thank you for listening to Things You Learn on a Monday Morning. I hope you enjoyed this amazing episode. Leave a comment, like, subscribe, and you'll be notified of all upcoming episodes. And if you really like podcasts, then I want to encourage you to listen to some of my other shorts and videos I post every week without fail, part of the week. I suggest some amazing podcasts for you to listen to if podcasts are your thing. But like I said, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Like and subscribe. If you like this episode, leave a comment. I'd love to hear from you. If you want to further have communication with me, my email is jason@creafluencesite.com. You can reach me on there or on Instagram or on YouTube. Wherever my socials are, you can reach out to me on there. But last thing that I want to share with you is don't stop dreaming, because you never know when that dream will become a reality, or when the dream will become a vocation. So, until next time, have a good one.